Monster Man, episode 434, Medusa, Madar, to Mimic. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are taking a look at some monsters from Monstrous Manual, the 1993 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. But before we do that, it's time to thank a new Patreon backer. Yes, this is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they have pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. And if, like today's backer, you pledge at the $2 or higher level, you'll also get access to episodes of my other podcast, Patron Deities, in which I take a look at the myths and religions of the world and how to use them in fantasy role-playing games. We've got, I think, over 120 episodes there now, so if you back today, you can start listening to those as soon as you like. Anyway, thank you very much to new patron Matthew Johns. Your support means a lot to me. In another piece of news, there will be no special episode this week. I am traveling on Friday, when the episode would normally come out, and I'm going to be spending a lot of this week getting ready for my summer teaching and trying to hit some end-of-the-month deadlines. And what that means is that I don't feel like I would have the time needed to do the episode justice, and as you know, the special episodes, they take a little bit more research and they're longer, so they just take a lot longer to produce, and I really don't want to rush one and come out with an episode that isn't up to the standard that I hope I consistently provide for the patrons and for the non-patron listeners. So you're going to be getting a shorter, regular episode on Friday, but we should have a really fun special episode for you the week after. All right, let's take a look at today's monsters. We start with the Medusa, Madar. Now these are, quote, male counterparts to Medusa, I close quotes. You wouldn't think that to look at them. At first, they don't have a petrifying gaze, which is a key characteristic of the Medusa, and secondly, they don't have the head snakes. So it's not obvious at first glance how they are counterparts, but once you look at them in a little bit more detail, you'll see. So in terms of their origins, I believe these are Forgotten Realms creatures, and the earliest appearance of them that I can find is in a Dragon magazine article in 1986. But typically, I think you find that you only get an ecology article if you've already appeared somewhere else, so it's possible that they appeared in a scenario or in one of the Forgotten Realms books, I don't know. As counterparts to Medusas, Madars can turn stone to flesh. So, you know, they're the backward version, which makes sense to me, but it's done by touch rather than with a gaze. And one of the ways that they feed themselves and Medusas is that they will take the people who have been turned to stone by a Medusa, smash the stone statues effectively to bits, and then revert them from stone to flesh, creating meat that they and the Medusa can enjoy, which is both horrible and ridiculous. Madars are extremely rare, and they are almost always found as the husband, or perhaps more accurately, wife guy, of a Medusa. They are completely devoted to their Medusa spouses, and you know, do everything they can to kind of help them survive and help them, I don't know, live their best Medusa lives. So I like this idea, which is, you know, how do Medusas get involved in these horrible schemes? You know, Medusas are kind of villain-like monsters, but they have a whole lot of problems interacting with the world outside of their lairs, right? I mean, they can't really look at people in a way that people can see them. They have to go to great lengths to sort of conceal their identities, and not just that for the risk of discovery, but also because of the petrifying gaze. So I like the idea that they have a sort of cat's paw who acts as their representative and kind of is the barrier between them and the outside world. So, you know, the Madar, like, he's kind of like a weird looking guy, clearly some kind of a magical being, an elf or something, but he doesn't have any of the telltale signs of being a Medusa, and he doesn't have the petrifying gaze, although he is immune to it. He'd kind of have to be. We get some stuff about the reproductive cycle of the Madar and the Medusa. In addition to the Madar, we get the Gliptar. Now, the Gliptar is a crystal which has had a Madar's life essence transferred into it. So when a Madar dies, its spirit can go into a suitable type of crystal. And once you have one of these crystals, it has some of the Madar's powers, which is cool, and it can be used to do a number of things. So for instance, you can put it into like a stone statue or construct to animate it, which makes sense because, you know, kind of bringing stone to life is one of the Maedar's abilities. Or you can mount it on a weapon, and then it will give you some of the Maedar's like powers and resistances. I think that's pretty cool. I don't think you're supposed to like run around knifing, you know, Maedar's and turning them into Gliptar's. But if you have established the lore of the Gliptar, you can use it as an explanation for why, like, oh, conveniently in this Medusa's lair, there is this thing that will give you some kind of protection from it. You know, it's not merely narratively convenient. So Maedar's are okay. I mean, I feel like I don't know how I feel about tacking some Ed Greenwood stuff onto a monster from mythology. But at the same time, like, if I have reservations about that kind of thing, that ship sailed a long time ago, you know? I am not a big fan of the Forgotten Realms, and one of these days I will have to, like, really get my head around it. I think I may be a little too young, but having said that, you know, I have friends who are younger than I am who are big fans of the Forgotten Realms and are really interested in its, like, history and characters. So clearly there's some appeal there, but to me it just seems like it's a fantasy setting, and I don't know what's distinctive about it, or rather distinctive enough that I would prefer it to my own fantasy setting for my own game, you know? Other than, like, that there's a lot of stuff published for it and it's convenient. The majority of published D&D stuff is for a Forgotten Realms setting, so it's quite simple to integrate. So I guess there's that. I don't know. If you're a big Forgotten Realms fan, like, this is not me going like, oh, I can't understand why anyone would like the Forgotten Realms. I just kind of don't get it. I don't see what distinguishes it from its competition that much. Maybe they're all just big Baldur's Gate fans. I can see that. Anyway, next up we have the Merman. The illustration is of a mermaid, the only type of merperson that people care about. And it's fine. The description here is pretty much what we expected. There's nothing to get all that excited about. It resembles the mer people from first edition, and they are just kind of, they have a patriarchal society, which I wonder if that's meant to be like a Little Mermaid thing. I don't know. Like, to provide a justification for mermaids to kind of like rebel against their society and run away, or I guess swim away. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with having mer people in a game. They're very much a part of kind of fantasy settings. I find a lot of the merfolk in D&D rather drab. They just kind of normal people that live under the sea, and furthermore, there are a lot of them, and I don't know that there really need to be so many, but there should certainly be one, and this is a fine entry for that one. You know, it's bread and butter, but you need bread and butter. Next up, we have the Mimic. You know Mimics. They take the form of things in dungeons, kind of most famously treasure chests, like iconically treasure chests. People think of mimics as monsters that look like treasure chests. That's not quite right. They can look like anything, but the treasure chest has stuck, presumably because it's so appealing to turn the hinged lid of a treasure chest into a big chompy mouth. This entry includes different stat lines for both the common and the killer mimic. You may remember that back in first edition, mimics were described as either being common, and common mimics are mimics that you can sort of talk to and figure out what it is they want and maybe come to some kind of arrangement with them, and killer mimics, which are just, you know, ferocious, animalistic, chompy boys. The killer mimic, I think, is really the one that everyone thinks of when they think of the mimic in general. The thing where mimics were smart and you could talk to them never really seems to have caught on. Anyway, it's mimics. And it's fine. The illustration's fine. The illustration for the mermaid was fine. Illustration for the Maedar's pretty good. It's Tony Turlitzy, and so, you know, that's always high quality, but it's just an illustration of, like, a fella standing there. But yeah, you know, it's mimics. It's a classic monster that everybody loves that you had to include in this book, but if you have read the previous one, it certainly doesn't really provide anything that you didn't already know. And there's nothing wrong with that. Again, sometimes you just want something that tells you what the monster is and what its stats are. Okay, in our next episode, we're going to be continuing our journey through Monster's Manual. We're going to take a look at the Mind Flayer, the Minotaur, and the Mist, Crimson Death. In the meantime, Patreon subscribers are going to get a new episode of Patron Deities. Well, subscribers at the $2 level are going to get a new episode of Patron Deities, where I'm going to talk about the great hero of Hawaiian legend, Maui. So I hope that you'll join me for one or both of those right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters. Because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.